Here we are. This is Brap Life. Welcome. Thank you so much for coming. I'm seriously excited for this because I've been watching you on Facebook, and this sounds really creepy. To anyone that doesn't know, there's like a PNW Facebook group that I joined because I've been wanting to go ride out there. And Grant here has been very active on the page, and he caught my attention with all his like YouTube videos and talking about his racing and stuff. So it got me curious. So I invited him on to tell his story to everybody.
Well, thank you so much for having me. Super stoked to be here. This is my first podcast I've ever done about moto stuff, which is pretty cool because I'm new to the space. So just super, super stoked that you wanted to talk to me.
Yeah, it's awesome. Like I said, I mean, you've done a really good job of making really good content. Your YouTube videos are very eye-catching. You know, a lot of times I don't spend a ton of time on Facebook anymore. But when I'm on it and I see your videos pop up, it's just like it makes me want to click it. And I'm like, oh, okay, this is really interesting. And you talking about your racing, and then you talked about your wife, and I think that also kind of got me. I was like, oh, he's celebrating his wife. I was like, that's so cool. So
yeah, thank you so much. Those compliments, actually, that's amazing. I just started my YouTube channel pretty recently, and I've done a lot of research about just creating thumbnails that look eye-catching that people want to click on. We're definitely still learning a lot about the space, the YouTube space, and trying to create content that people want to watch. It's very easy to create content that you think that people want to watch, but I've only made like 6 or 7 YouTube videos that I felt like were really cool. But then I got to talk to some other people that are in the space that have been actually making money on YouTube, creating moto content. And they didn't say it was bad, but they definitely gave me some really awesome pointers about, you know, trying to just change a bit of the direction of the channel to retain people's attention. And it is very valuable information. And I'm just stoked to be making videos about dirt bikes. Like,
yeah.
You know, writing is a lifestyle. Like I am actually trying to create a lifestyle around this because I'm new to the space. And, you know, you talked about me mentioning my wife rides, her name's Emily. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like I post a lot on the PNW Dirt Talk page, on Facebook, just because it's a huge community of like 36,000 people. And everyone in that space loves dirt bikes and loves dirt bike content. And, you know, you should be going where you feel valued. And like if you just post on your Facebook, you don't know how many of those people follow you. And a lot of people on your friends list might not be into dirt bikes. So you're essentially just like posting dirt bike videos and pictures to a bunch of people who don't necessarily care. So I've enjoyed posting in that PNW Dirt Talk page because all those people do care. There's a lot of people that talk a lot of trash, but you know, it's I feel like it's made me a better person because they kind of keep me in check.
Yeah, you really have to kind of like have a good mindset to post stuff on the internet. Like, if you're not comfortable with yourself at all, people can really get to you. But I think that you have a good sense of self, then, you know, it's not gonna bother you so much. Sometimes it's a little bit harder because, like, as a woman on social media, we get judged hard for the stuff that we post. Like, I had a friend of mine post this really awesome reel, and she was like super stoked about it. All of us ladies loved it. And there were just some dudes who came in and were just like, I hate when girls post stuff like they're pros and they think it's cool. And like all these really crap comments. And I was like, dude, what? But at the same time, I was like, okay, she's not saying that she's pro. She's saying like, she like literally it was about progression and about doing better. And like, it was like, here's the first time I tried something and here's the second time I tried something. And like, she did so much better. And I was just like, that's crap. Like, it is such crap. Wow. But unfortunately, guys, like a lot of guys post really cool videos and like they're really good at stuff. And not all of us are at that level. I'm pretty new still. And the stuff that I post, it's always just because I'm proud of myself. And it's not like, I'm not trying to show off to anybody. I am not a top rider, and that's fine. I know that. But being able to celebrate myself, that's what makes me happy. And it's kind of like my little timeline to like go and look back at like where I started and like where I've come to. And like, you know, in another year, like to be able to look back at it. So, and for me, it like, it's really inspiring apparently to other women, and that's who I'm inspired by as well. Men too, of course, but like women post their stuff, the good and the bad. They post their fails. They post real content, like real stuff. And those are the people that I follow and that I get inspired by. But the fact is they have to have that confidence to be able to post it and deal with the fact that some of those people are going to have those crap comments. But I think there's a lot more value in those people who tell you you're doing a good job and that you're inspiring people. And I think that's worth the bad comments, in my opinion.
Yeah. And no matter what you do, there's always going to be two sides to the coin. There's always going to be people that talk trash, but you know, there are people out there that you are inspiring. And same thing with my story. There's definitely been some people that have reached out to me that have said that my content is inspiring, and I've moved up pretty fast in the sport, at least in my region. Like, I'm not racing nationally or anything, but you know, like if you post online, you just have to have thick skin, because no matter what, people are going to say something that you don't like. And I'm no professional either, but I'm putting myself out there just because if you want to try and build anything in this space, like you have to post on social media. People have to know who you are. If you have any sponsors, you got to support them. Motocross is expensive. So, you got to find ways to subsidize that. And it's very difficult. You know, the people that have reached out to me that have said that I've inspired them has been a huge driving factor for, you know, me continuing to race and enduring the pain and just striving to be better.
Yeah, that's great. I love that aspect of it. Like, I didn't imagine ever that when I got on a bike, I would be inspiring people. I was literally told like the first time that I went riding, essentially, that I was never going to be good and I was never going to get off my TTR. And like, I was just knocked down really hardcore. But like, I'm really glad that I didn't listen to that. And I started to kind of have that confidence and just post stuff. And because it really is making a difference for other people. And that's really crazy. But it's weird. It's like a cycle, right? So like, you're posting stuff because you feel inspired by other people, and then you are now inspiring other people. And I don't know about you, but for me, that inspires me to keep going and to keep pushing harder. So it's just like this big circle of awesome.
I agree. Being totally new to this space too is it's kind of nerve-wracking. Like, there's so much to learn, and you can't be afraid to fail. Like, you know, talking about the social media side and posting and creating videos, like you can't be afraid to make a crappy video. You just, you have to try something and see what works. And then also like being in the physical space and going to races and competing, there's so many unknowns. If you're fresh and new to the space, you don't know what you're doing. Like, I don't know where the signups are. I don't know anyone that's there. I don't even know if I'm riding the right bike for the course. All these people have these like suspension setups that are just like crazy. And like, I look like a complete noob. And, you know, sometimes you feel like people are just judging you because you literally look like you know nothing. But, you know, you just got to get out there and you got to try and just don't be afraid to fail.
Yeah. I think that's really great advice. I love that. Well, so how did you first get into riding? Because like we're talking, you're new to the space. Like how new are you?
It's a good question. So I rode dirt bikes really casually as a kid from when I was like six up until I was about 15. My parents had 40 acres that, you know, was like butt up against some state land. And so I got to ride out there quite a bit, but I didn't have anyone to ride with. I was just riding by myself, which I made some really good memories doing that. Cause you know, you are a kid and you're out there in the middle of nowhere and you run out of gas or you get a flat tire and, you know, you got to push your bike all the way home. So I made some really good memories doing that. But then I was off the bike from, you know, 15, 16 years old all the way up until I was 27. Because, you know, life happens. I started driving. I got a job. I went to college. I got a job and was just working all the time. So just riding bikes wasn't in the picture. There's a different side of me also. Like I was a touring musician for 10 years and that took up a huge amount of my time. So, and we can dive into that if you want, but I know that's like, not moto related, but.
Yeah, but it's really interesting.
Yeah, it is. It is interesting. I guess like going back to your question about like getting into moto, cause we can touch on the band stuff, here in a bit. So like when 2020 happened and touring stopped, like I wasn't able to tour my band cause of COVID. So
yeah.
Gyms were closed and I was looking for something to do. So I just bought a bike and I had actually just started dating Emily, which is now my wife. And I actually bought two bikes. We got invited to go to the sand dunes with some friends and I didn't have anything to ride. So I bought two bikes and we just decided to go. And we learned so much from that trip. It was so much fun. And, you know, everyone we were camping with, they had campers and all these different bikes. And like, we could tell right away, like this was something really cool. We loved the lifestyle and we wanted to do more of that. Mm-hmm. So fast forward to 2021, I discovered that you could actually go ride on a track. I had no idea that like, you know, you could go pay $40 or $50 and go ride on a track. I thought that you had to be some professional with sponsors to even set foot on a racetrack. So this whole new world opened up to me to where I could go practice. And then I was diving into YouTube videos and just like trying to understand like how to ride and how to jump and take corners and stuff. You know, I did some research and I was like, you know what, I'm going to do a race. And in 2021, that was my first race. And it was, I did two motos and I got completely spanked by a bunch of kids. I was riding in the 250C class and, there was like, you know, 30 bikes on the line. I think I got 14th in both motos, and on the second moto on the finish line, I crashed and knocked myself out. And like, I had so much confidence before the race thinking like, oh, you know what? I've ridden dirt bikes, you know, as a kid and I've been riding for like, you know, 6 months now, like I can do this. And I just went out there and was like hitting big jumps and was super unsafe on the motorcycle. And, I over jumped the finish line jump and like hit my head on the handlebars and knocked myself out. So after that, I didn't race for a couple years because I was terrified for one.
Yeah.
If I wanted to do any racing, I needed to get a better bike. At the time I was riding a KTM, it was a 2002 KTM SX520. So it was this like massive bike that I should not have been riding. I should have been on a 250 or something. So I got rid of that and I got a Honda, a 2020 Honda CRF 250R. And I started practicing at the track and watching more YouTube videos and understanding how to be safe on the motorcycle. And I just came to the conclusion that if you can ride safely, it's going to boost your confidence and then you're going to be faster because you feel safe. Like you should never be riding a motorcycle on a track and feeling like your life is in danger, like you're just holding on to the bike for dear life. Like, like you should take a step back if that's you and you're listening to this. Okay.
I've never ridden on a track like that before. Like, well, there's like a little outdoor one that was like, it wasn't really anything crazy. It was like a kid's track, but yeah, I've never really done any track stuff. It kind of scares me. Being in the air is not natural for me. So it doesn't feel natural. Woods riding feels way more natural.
Yeah. And it feels natural for me too. That's why I really like doing the NORC series here in Washington, because it's a lot of track and trail combined.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you like to hit jumps, you could still hit jumps while you're racing, but then there's just a lot of trail riding too. So that's kind of been like my cup of tea ever since I found the NORC series. Before that, I was kind of doing a little bit of moto here and there just because I didn't really know that racing on the trails existed.
Yeah.
Once I found that out, it was like game over. I was like, I want to do this and this only. I've raced a little bit of moto since then, and it's just a different ball game. It is like motocross is just a sprint. It is a straight sprint as fast as you can go. It is violent. It is dangerous. Again, if you are not like a professional and you don't have like perfect form on the motorcycle when you're jumping and hitting these berms, it's dangerous. So
yeah.
I was going to talk about injuries too. Like if you're injured, you can't ride your motorcycle. We all want to ride and injuries suck. So it goes back to like, you know, watching those YouTube videos and educating yourself on how to ride safely. If you're not riding safely, you're going to risk getting hurt. And I actually broke my leg this year. I broke my tibia on my right leg racing motocross. This was not an off-road race. It was motocross. And it was, again, this just plays into my ignorance in the space and just being new to the sport. Like circling back to your original question about me getting into moto, I really started racing pretty consistently in July of 2023. I was pretty much doing like one big race per month up until the season ended in like October.
Okay.
So in early 2024, I went to the Portland International Raceway Thursday Night Motocross opening event there. It's an amazing track. The dirt is always prime. There's like thousands of spectators there. There's hundreds of riders. It's an incredible, space. And
yeah,
I had just bought a 2024 KX250. And let me tell anyone that is watching this that like just bought a brand new bike, like you need to go put hours on that bike and get comfortable with that bike before you do any races. Because take it from me, I broke my leg racing that bike when I had zero time on the motorcycle. It rode so different than my yes. Honda. I should have spent probably like 20 hours on the bike, getting comfortable with the bike, getting comfortable with the power delivery, setting up the suspension properly for my weight. And the one thing that really bit me in the ass for this race was I didn't like the way that the throttle was set up on the bike. It was mm-hmm. it was very tight, and I didn't know that I preferred to have just a little bit of slop in the throttle, because what ended up happening, I hit some braking bumps going into like a corner where there was a massive berm. So when mm-hmm. I hit those braking bumps, it actually caused me to like almost like whiskey throttle, because my throttle mm-hmm. tube was so tight on there, and the bike yeah. just bike got away from me, and I launched off the berm and off the track. So if I would have, you know, paid more attention to like setting up the bike properly for how I would prefer it, then I mm-hmm. probably could have avoided being off the bike and expensive medical bills and just so much pain. So if you have a new bike, please spend time riding it and getting it set up so you don't hurt yourself.
Yeah, definitely. I have ridden a lot of different bikes. When my TTR, when I decided to move up from the TTR, I rode probably like 15 different bikes because I knew I wanted to move to a full size bike. But I didn't know what kind. And I was like dead set on a four stroke because I was on a four stroke before. And then I rode a two stroke for the first time. And I was like, all right, I changed my mind.
Yeah.
But I mean, every single bike rides different. They could be the same like type of bike, but they're still, I mean, everybody's got theirs done different. So they all ride completely different in my experience, at least the ones that I've ridden. I rode probably like 3 Beta X trainers just because I didn't like the way the first one felt. And so I rode another friend's and I was like, oh, I still don't like this. And, you know, I finally found what worked for me, and I try and stick to it now, but I have ridden other people's bikes since then. It's kind of crazy. Sometimes you jump on a bike and you kind of feel like you don't know how to ride. You get used to the way your bike responds and the way that you're used to riding. And it's just like, oh, suddenly I have to change, like my throttle response is different. And, you know, the clutch engages at a different point, everything that just throws you off completely. So I think that's amazing advice. Don't yeah. just go race on a new bike.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you're right there for sure. Yeah. And you said you're how tall again?
5 feet.
Yeah. So you're 5 feet. So, the X trainer that comes pretty like from the factory, it's a pretty like low, seat height, right?
So it's a little bit lower than like a KTM or a Husqvarna, but you can get them lowered from factory by 2 inches. And that was kind of like a big appeal to me, but then I don't know. I didn't really love it. So I didn't really want to spend the money on it if I wasn't in love with it. And I rode a Husky and I kind of fell in love with that. And then I rode a couple more and I was like, okay, I think this is the bike for me. So,
what bike did you end up? What do you have now?
Husqvarna TE300, the Pro Edition.
Nice. That's awesome. Yeah,
it's a little bit of a jump, but I knew that I wanted to start getting into hard enduro eventually, and I was starting to really push my limits on the TTR. And I talked to a lot of different people about what I should get, and I was just like, well, might as well go for it. And I'll in some ways I'll grow into the bike. I know physically I won't grow as much as I want to, but I knew it was going to be a learning curve, and it has been. It's been quite a learning curve. There's been a lot of falling because I haven't lowered the bike because I'm really, really stubborn. So,
oh, you got to lower it. That'd be game changer.
Now that I'm starting to get into like true hard enduro, yes, I am going to lower it. I just haven't done it yet. But yeah, I was really dead set against it in the beginning because I just wanted to, like, I don't know, prove that my height didn't have a factor in me being able to do things, but it really does. And being honest about it is better and safer, more comfortable probably, than just riding it the way that it is. So
yeah, I
just had to swallow my pride a little bit.
Yeah. So my wife, Emily, we actually have the same bike. She's got a 23 KX250 and I have a 24 KX250. And we have her bike lowered 2 inches and she still is, she can't touch, with both feet at the same time. So I don't know. I think she actually did have a TTR 125 as well. And then she went up to a KLX 140. And then from the 140, she got the 250. And she absolutely loves that bike. But if it wasn't lowered, I think she would definitely have a hard time. She really likes doing trail riding stuff. She doesn't necessarily enjoy doing track stuff. So, you know, she's got to at least be able to, you know, dab her foot when she's going around a corner or something, when there's some big rocks and roots and stuff. So, I would encourage you to, you know, get that bike lowered and you could probably step your game up a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I was doing, there's a feature from one of the hard enduros in North Carolina, and it's a lot of uphill and a lot of big rocks. And when I was doing that, I went to put my foot down and it was like this much lower than what I was able to like actually touch. And I just tipped over and I high-sided. So I'm like having to push my bike back up the mountain essentially. And I was like, all right, if I had been that much taller or the bike had been that much lower, then I wouldn't have probably fallen and I could have saved that much more energy. So if I'm looking to race hard enduro, I really have to look at where can I save that kind of energy. So that's ultimately what changed my mind, was actually having that experience and realizing that my friends were right all along. So you told me. You guys told me.
That's funny. All along.
But yeah, like I said, I just, you know, it was a pride thing. I just wanted to be able to do it like everybody else, but that's okay. I'm still going to be able to do it and it's not going to make that much of a difference, I don't think. So we'll see. And the worst that can happen is it doesn't work and I have to change it back and figure it out. So,
yeah. So I don't know if you've talked much about, like hard enduro with other people on your podcast, but I don't know anything about the hard enduro space other than it, whenever I hear hard enduro, I think about like going over huge logs and rocks and stuff. So have you been doing, you've been racing hard enduro?
No. So I haven't raced hard enduro yet. I've been following the series, the US series this year. And I did like photography. And I have just kind of been in that space pretty much since April. I've been following hard enduro on the world side for like 10 years. And I always thought it was the coolest thing, seeing all these epic races overseas. I actually had no idea that there was a US series until this year. And then I was like, oh my God, I need to go. But yeah, it's really cool. I've been to, I think I went to 5 or 6 different rounds this year, and just seeing the different terrain and the different places was awesome. The you know, it is logs and rocks essentially, but it's like hardcore. There's a lot of variance when it comes to that stuff, and it takes a lot of different skill. There are times when there are rocks taller than me that they have to, you know, do a splat and go up, and there's giant logs that are also bigger than me, and they got to get over that stuff. And it's a struggle essentially against things that I think that Radford Chug said it best, like things that you shouldn't have your bike go through ever. And yeah, that's the stuff that these guys are racing on. But that kind of riding, I don't know why, but it appeals to me so much. Like, I just think it's the coolest. And it just, like, to me, it's really fulfilling because, like, because I am so small and everybody, like, is always thinking that I can't do a lot of things. So for me personally, when I can make it through a section that people are like, oh, don't worry, I'll ride your bike, I'm like, no, I want to try it. Like, I'm not that good, don't get me wrong. I'm just starting to get into that stuff. I've done some rock gardens and, you know, a couple features from races, but that's what I want to work towards. That's what I want to do. That's the kind of riding that I've been training towards. So I really, like, I work a lot on balance because of that, because you need a lot of balance and a lot of, like, being good with your clutch. I can't think of the word right now, but
yeah,
just, like, you really have to know your clutch. And, like, those are two of the biggest things, but it's also, like, the hardest thing to figure out is, like, figuring out your clutch point and, like, how to feather your clutch properly and not lose momentum, for example, like on a hill climb or something like that, and being able to use it to your advantage. So
clutch control.
Yes. Thank you. Words are hard.
Yeah. That's crazy. You know, that's the hard enduro stuff. I've never tried it, you know. I've like gone camping with friends and they've kind of like taken me up some stuff that was kind of gnarly. And I don't know, man, it just wasn't for me. It was like, I was trying to go up a creek bed and everyone else got up it just fine. And I was like the last person and, you know, I tipped my bike over and almost broke my foot peg off. And, that stuff's pretty gnarly. It's interesting to hear you talk about it, because the type of person where I when I'm riding, I really like to just go as fast as I possibly can. So whenever there's a feature that's really difficult like that and it slows me up, it kind of drives me nuts. But recently, the last couple races I've done, there's been a couple rock gardens that I actually enjoyed. They weren't too difficult. It was challenging to see like how fast could I ride through this rock garden. But it wasn't anything crazy where like I had to like jump up a huge rock that was the size of my bike, you know?
Yeah.
But it was pretty cool. It's been fun.
Yeah, no, I love watching like dirt bike races in general. I started out in the motocross and supercross world. So like, just like watching all of that when I first started getting into, those are the races that I was around, like physically around. Like, so that's what I was watching in person. Like I said, I started watching hard enduro way before that. But I didn't, you know, that I didn't know that it was possible to watch it in person in the States. So, it was always motocross, supercross. So I'm a little bit familiar with that world. And it is very different. I have a couple friends who do like motocross and stuff like that. And they're very different people. And they always like give me a hard time. They're like, why do you want to go and just thrash your bike all the time? And I'm like, that's true. It's a true statement. But I've talked about this before with other people. There's just something about dirt bikers in general. In order to be on a dirt bike, you have to have like a certain mindset, a certain resilience, right? Because it's hard. Doesn't matter what you're doing, whether it's motocross, whether you're just going a straight line, it's not easy. You know, so, but you take that crazy and you multiply that by like 5, and that's a hard enduro rider. And yeah, all of the people who like hard enduro have like an extra screw loose. And I mean, it's just, I don't know what it is, but it's so much fun to me. But I didn't grow up like riding bikes. I didn't grow up being like athletic or anything like that. Going fast is scary to me when I'm not in a vehicle. I can go fast in a vehicle, that's fine, but on a bike scares me. And like, I'm just now starting to, I always say it, like I was a gamer for a long time. So always like I'm unlocking my, you know, skills. So I unlocked my speed in the last month or so for the most part. There are still some things that I go through that I'm super slow on, but I'm starting to get comfortable, and with that comfort comes the speed. So I think that's been really cool, but I am not somebody who's going to go out and just fifth gear tapped and just gone. And then if you throw jumps into that, no, I'm going like 5 miles an hour.
Yeah. So. I wouldn't advise anyone to go out there fifth gear tapped because it's really dangerous. You know, leave that up to the professionals and, you know, work on your form before you go fifth gear out there in the woods, you know?
Yeah. So with you still like being pretty new to all of this, have you gone to like any clinics or gotten any kind of like formal training, or has it just been like you working with like YouTube?
So yeah, I've been doing the YouTube thing for a while, just trying to learn as much as I can on YouTube. But for my birthday back in September, my friend bought me a 2-hour session with a pro. His name's Devin Harriman. Nice. And that was super fun. You know, it was only 2 hours, but we worked on two corners. I told him that I just wanted to work on my cornering because pretty much I feel like anyone can go fast in a straight line. But the guys who are really fast on the track, they can go around corners really fast. So we worked on a right-hander and a left-hander for 2 hours. And there's like a little roller right before one of the turns. And we worked on that as well, because I was hitting the roller too fast and basically disrupting the frame of the motorcycle and the suspension in a certain way, to where it was like I was overshooting the inside of the corner where I needed to be. So we worked on a technique where we would, I guess I called it a roller, but it's kind of more of like, it was a really small double, to where there wasn't a big lip on the double. So I felt like you had to carry a lot of speed in order to get over the second hump. But what he taught me, which was crazy, like it seems so simple, but if you don't know, like how are you supposed to unlock this knowledge, right? But he basically said, like, okay, at the face of the jump, you're gonna brake slightly because you want to compress your suspension, and then you're gonna hammer that throttle right at the base of the jump, and it's going to compress your suspension just enough to where it's going to pop you over that really small double. And then you're going to be landing in your braking position. And that completely just unlocked like a new level for me. Hitting that small double, landing in that braking position, and like sliding into the corner. And, you know, he was so good. He literally stood in the middle of the track, and we worked on coming to like a stop at before the corner. So I would hit the double, and he's like, okay, I'm going to stand here, and if you hit me, I'm going to be pissed. And like, he told me to just like hit the double and then come to a stop right where he was at, because I was blowing through the corner consistently and trying to get me to learn how to stop properly. So we did that, and I didn't run him over, which was cool. And yeah, I mean, setting yourself up for that corner was all I needed, because the rest of it's easy. If you're setting up before the corner, now you're in a good position to you can hit that corner with proper technique, instead of like blasting over the double and now you're overshooting the corner and now you're railing the outside and your suspension's all jacked up because you just hit this double way too fast into a corner. It's very, very chaotic. So yeah, we worked on corners, and that session was really valuable for me. If you're new to this space, you know, I would definitely just like try and learn as much as you can from YouTube. And if you have the budget to, you know, get some proper training from a person at a track, I would definitely recommend that.
Yeah, I'm a huge proponent of like learning from a professional. It has made such a huge difference for my riding to just be able to get that feedback. I've done online modules, and then I've done in-person stuff. And the in-person stuff, because I'm so small, sometimes I need modifications on how to do things. And just getting that real-time feedback is really important for me. But I've always been kind of a nerd, and like I really like to learn. So like learning proper technique, like it's really, really cool, because I've been able to progress a lot faster than I think I would have if I hadn't put so much time into the drills that I learned in these clinics. It's huge, huge to have proper body position. And those first few hours that I rode over those first couple years that I had a bike, I didn't know anything about body position. And then when I started actually really riding, I still didn't know until like about 6 months in. And then I took my first clinic and I was like, oh, okay, this is, it looks like it'll help, but I don't know if I can get my body to do that. And so I really worked on it, and like getting the new bike, like I said, it just kind of reset everything. I had to learn a whole new body position because the bike is bigger and I'm not. So trying to figure out what does it look like to move my weight back or forward on that bike. I have friends who are like, hey, you need to move back on the bike when you're going downhill. I'm like, I am. Like, my arms are fully outstretched. I'm as far as I can go. I'm just tiny. So it doesn't look like it. But
yeah.
But again, that goes back to that instant feedback in a clinic. That setting to me is very, very important. And to me, it means a lot. Because I do want to excel in my riding. And I, you know, I'm older. I'm 34. I got into this late in life, you know, and I want to do as well as I can, as quickly as I can, because I have a lot of time to make up for. So,
yeah.
Yeah,
all these kids out there that are fast. It. They're like 14.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. There's my friend, his son is 3 years old on one of those like little electric, like Strider type bikes.
Strider.
And he does hard enduro on that thing at 3 years old. Like, that kid's gonna be a beast. Like,
yeah,
it's incredible. But I mean, there are so many kids who are putting so much into this, and I just think it's the coolest to see younger people getting into this so young, you know, 14, 15, whatever. There's so many kids who just play video games and, you know, don't want to be outside. Like, that's the stereotype for this generation, right? That everybody just stays inside all the time. But to see these kids push so hard for dirt bikes is awesome. Doesn't matter the discipline, like, they're pushing hardcore. And it's kind of crazy, because like, they're gonna push the limits of what these sports can do. It's incredible, but it's really awesome to see. And I always find it super inspiring. These little 14-year-olds and 15-year-olds are inspiring me to push harder in my riding.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And, you know, the whole movement with the Strider bikes, I agree. I think in 10 years, those kids that are on Striders now that are that are 4 and 5 years old, like they're going to be in their teens and they're going to be winning world championships because they've been on those Strider bikes from a young age, and they're probably going to move up to, you know, a 50 pretty quick. You know, those kids that are riding the 85s are insane. You know, I do watch quite a bit of like motocross and supercross stuff, and seeing how young those kids are and they're hitting those big jumps that I know I can't even hit is is insane. So to see where the sport is going to go in the next 10 years is going to be crazy.
Yeah. It's pretty intense to think about it, but if you look at where every sport, everything that involves dirt bikes, you know, it's already come a long way since you start looking at it in the 90s, even. I mean, how much has it evolved since then? Motocross, hard enduro, all of that. It's kind of crazy the stuff that people do on dirt bikes.
I agree.
It's really, really
cool. And then, like, not even mentioning, like what's happening with freestyle. I mean, that's a different type of riding too. Like, we talked about the different types of racing with hard enduro and motocross and off-road, but then there's also, I've seen kids on Strider bikes that are doing backflips in their backyard and that's insane. Like, who knows what freestyle motocross is going to be like in the next 10 years with all these kids that are just doing crazy jumps in their backyard, you know?
Yeah, that'll be insane. I guess I don't really watch a whole lot of freestyle, but I'm gonna have to look for some, because seeing like little kids, I feel like that would stress me out a little bit to watch little kids do that. But at the same time, I say that, and then I watch little kids do hard enduro. So, you know, it's all relative to what you know and what scares you. But I don't know very much about freestyle. I know it looks cool when you see it. I think it's awesome, but I don't know a whole lot about it at all.
I don't know a ton about it either. I have a friend, Jesse Barton, who he does freestyle, and he's also a fellow musician. He's in a band as well, and we actually he lives in Spokane, Washington, and we got to know each other through the music community, and we've stayed in touch over the years. And he actually just won 2 championships at his local track for motocross, and I think he won like 25 plus and 30 plus. I think he's a B rider, but he also does freestyle and he does crazy jumps and stuff. So he's kind of like my only contact that I have for freestyle, but he'll send me videos and stuff. We joke around and send each other dirt bike stuff all the time.
That's kind of awesome. I do that. I have a few friends who were all across the country, and we're always sending each other dirt bike stuff. Like, that just shows that you have really good friends when you can send them all the dirt bike things.
Yeah.
We had one, my friend sent me one the other day, and it's like, I have no idea where it was, but it's this teeny tiny little trail on the side of like a mountain, like a hardcore, like straight down cliff mountain, like thousands of feet up. And it's just like, there's a river way down there and they're just riding on it. And I was like, nope.
Yeah.
At first I was like, well, maybe in a couple years, like when I'm better with off camber. And then when I started thinking about it more, I was like, nah, because that looks terrifying, like on video. And we all know videos never do it justice. So I can only imagine it probably looks like true death being on that trail.
Yeah.
And there's like literally like nowhere to put your foot down. Like,
yeah.
And that could be an optical illusion, but it's still, it's a little much.
Yeah. Yeah, that stuff scares me. I don't like riding next to cliffs like that. I would rather be in like a desert, wide open, just hitting whoops as fast as I can. I have a friend that his name is William Gross, and he's actually down in Mexico right now preparing for the Baja 1000. And
oh wow,
yeah, he's super inspiring to me. He lives in Washington, and he's been training all year for the Baja 1000. He's doing the Ironman class, so you know he's out there by himself, doing 1,000 miles. It's going to take him a couple days to do it. But he's been training all year. He did the San Felipe 250. He did the 400 and the 500, all preparing to do the 1000. So that's the type of style of riding that I really enjoy. Like desert racing is super fun. I also did the have you heard of the Desert 100 in Washington?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. So I did that for the first time last year. And my goal was to be top 100, and I was 96th, I believe.
Nice.
Overall. And for anyone who doesn't know what that is, it's mm-hmm. the largest motocross. It's the largest off-road race for mm-hmm. motorcycles in the United States. There's like 1,500 bikes starting at the same time. And it's literally like over a mile long. It's just like straight stretch of bikes. You got to sprint to your bike, start it, and then just like sprint across this field that's like a mile long, and then you funnel into this little area. That was an insane experience, and I can't wait to do that one again next year, because it was just such a huge learning experience, and also like getting the whole family involved and bringing everyone out mm-hmm. to go camping and stuff was such a great time. Like just like creating a lifestyle around this sport has been so amazing. I love it.
I always love the fact that like the off-road community is so amazing, and being able to include your family in all of that stuff that you do. I mean, like you can totally, like we talked about kids being on bikes, like people take their kids out to go riding, and you know, it's just, it's really awesome. The whole family can be involved, and I absolutely love that.
I don't have any kids. Do you have kids?
No, I do not, but yeah. I'll occasionally steal friends' kids and take them out. There's a trail ride I did last year, I think it was in the spring. And I took two of the younger girls, they're like 13 or 14. And I took them out on a trail ride, and they started calling me their moto mom. And I was like, oh, that's weird. Okay.
That's awesome.
But yeah. I mean, they didn't have anybody to take them out. So yeah. I was like, yeah, I'll go ride with you. They were both faster than me. This was when I was still on my TTR, and they were on bigger bikes than I was. But I was like, I'll still go with you. It's fine. They just had waited for me at like all the turns, and I was just like, put, put, put.
Oh my gosh.
So, but awesome. I mean, you know, it was cool. They got to go out and have fun. And the two girls actually didn't know each other before that. So they were both just super stoked to meet other girls their age who ride. So I think it's cool to have such an amazing community. I've met the absolute best people through dirt bikes. And it's completely changed my life. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. Like touching on that. So my wife and I have been sober for 4 years now. And that was right around the time when I stopped touring with my band. And mm-hmm. I made a huge pivotal shift in my life, getting sober. I did do some touring after I got sober, but my lifestyle was starting to change at that point in time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've met some really amazing people through the moto community, going to all of these races and talking with all these people that want to help me understand, you know, navigating going to these races and, you know, doing this, getting signed up for the right class, even like, you know, if you don't know anything about the space, you don't know where to even start. And there's a couple yeah. people that I met that just like kind of took me under their wing, and I've been friends with them the last couple years, and we go camping together. They live several hours from me, but we see them all the time because we're always going to the same races. We go to the same tracks. We're inviting yeah. each other to go camping, and we've met some of our like very best friends through the moto community.
Yeah. Yeah, it's absolutely incredible. So the whole reason that I'm on the PNW page is because I met this girl, Micaiah, and there's a huge, huge women's community on Instagram called Northwest Woods Women. And it's all women based in the PNW, and they were posting these epic pictures and videos. And I was like, this is cool. So I started talking to Micaiah.
What was that?
Northwest Woods Women.
Okay. Yeah, because I'm sure my wife would love to check that out.
I was just gonna say, yeah, it's a super, super great community. There's tons of women that ride, and they ride everything. And they just had like a huge women's event where there was like 200 women that went out. And it was really, really cool. And they did like rides together. But anyway, so Micaiah was posting stuff, and she just made PNW look super awesome. And then she is just an absolute gem of a human being. Like, I haven't met her in person yet, but we've talked, like we did a podcast together. And so the actual podcast episode, I think, was like an hour long, but we spent like 4 hours talking, like before and after we talked, because it just like, we had so much in common, and like, we're such good friends now. I love this girl. She's amazing. So, like, it's brought me amazing people like that. Like, I've never actually ridden with this girl. Haven't met her in real life, but she's quickly become one of my best friends because we're just like constantly talking, and she's so supportive, and like, she inspires me all the time. Like, it's really, really cool. But I have so many people like that, that I've been able to meet through dirt bikes, and it's just incredible. I feel like so inspired every single day by people. And it's not just like, you know, the top guys in the world who are inspiring, because of course they ride amazing, and who doesn't want to ride like that? But then there's your everyday people, like I said, like you and Micaiah, Darcy, like all kinds of people who are just normal people who ride and just are authentic. And I think that that's what I'm drawn to, people who are genuine and who, you know, just are just great dirt bike people.
Yeah. I feel like the professionals, it's fun to watch them ride and stuff, but it almost seems like so out of reach that it's not relatable. I absolutely love to watch, you know, Jet Lawrence and Eli Tomac and these guys that are veterans in the sport. Ken Roczen, he's amazing. But mm-hmm. they're like on this level that is so incredibly high that to even think about attempting to ride one of these outdoor tracks at the level that they do is insane. So it is kind of cool to like, you know, be grounded and have friends that you can ride with and communicate with that are kind of like mm-hmm. maybe on your level, or if there's someone that you get to ride with that's a little bit better than you that can help like push you to that next level. I think there's a lot of value in that.
Yeah.
I think being able to physically ride with those people, that would be huge, and that would be a game changer. But kind of what I was saying was like watching those people on TV to where like, you know, they on a television screen, especially with how they're presented, they are mm-hmm. celebrities. Right. And It's like hard to wrap your mind around like being as good as they are, especially just watching them on a screen, right? But yeah. if you were able, like, for example, if you were able to do a clinic, if I was able to do a clinic with any of those guys that I named,
I
would do that in a heartbeat. And I would probably learn a ton from being able to ride with them or just speak with them in person and get that immediate feedback and response.
It's really crazy. I talked about, I've had some experience in the motocross world, supercross. So I actually got to meet a lot of the top riders in supercross from about, this is about 5 or 6 years ago. So I got to meet a lot of them, and they're nice people. But they're not super accessible. It's not really easy to just go and talk to those guys at races and stuff like that. At least not any of the ones that I went to. One of the things that I also really like about hard enduro is that all of the top pros in the world are very accessible. You can literally walk up to them at any race and just start talking to them, and they will sit there and talk to you like all day. Well, not all day, but you know, they'll talk to you. And it's really cool because there's something that's, like I said, a little bit different about the hard enduro community. And maybe it's because it's a little smaller, but all of the top pros are super, super humble. And I think it's really, really cool. Not knocking pros in any other discipline at all. You know, I mean, it's a different space too, right? Like if you have to be in a specific headspace, like you talked about, motocross is like a sprint, and you know, you have to kind of stay in a specific headspace. And I totally get that. It's totally different, but I'm just speaking from like a spectator, like fan perspective. Like that's all I'm saying. Cause I know some of those guys will maybe listen to this one day. So it's not a knock on anybody. I'm just saying.
Hard enduro
guys are really accessible.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, we're not trying to knock nobody here.
It's just a conversation about how we feel about things. So
yeah, if anyone wants to talk to me about motocross, whether they're professional or have never ridden before, I will talk your ear off because I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think it's really cool. I love the fact that people are just so open about their love and their passion for dirt bikes. Like, it's really cool. My friend told me, she's like, you know, before you got into riding, she's like, I feel like I never knew anybody who was into dirt bikes. And now I see all kinds of people with these stickers on their vehicles. And she's like, and now I know what that is because of you. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you're welcome. I was like, you should just get a bike already.
Yeah. It's a lifestyle.
She hasn't done it yet, but it totally is. And it's just, I don't know. I just think it's so cool to meet other people who have passion and who, you know, fight really hard for what it is that they want in life, because I think that society is very stuck on results. And like, you know, we need to have the good job and, you know, we need to work so hard and all of that. And I think there's been a little bit of a shift in the past, maybe 5 years, towards spending more time on your like mental health and stuff like that. I feel that when I started to put more time into my riding, and I also changed like my lifestyle in general, like you said, I got sober about a year ago.
Very cool.
So I did that. I changed the way that I started, that I was eating. I changed my fitness routine. So I changed a lot about my life, but it was all inspired by riding because I wanted to be a better rider. I knew that I wanted to get into hard enduro. And in order to do that, I was going to have to build my endurance, and I was going to have to build strength, and I was going to have to do all of these things. And they're hard things, but I would much rather put my time and energy into that than drinking. And, you know, dirt bikes are a lot of money, but I was spending a lot of money to go to the bar every weekend and go blow a bunch of money on stuff and memories that I couldn't remember. And mm-hmm. That got old really quick.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I feel the same way. I spent a lot on alcohol and, bikes are my drug of choice now, I guess. It's expensive.
Yeah, it is. Especially when you do hard enduro and you break things a lot.
Yeah, I can understand that. That's part of the reason why I don't like doing hard enduro. Every time I try and do something, I'm breaking handlebars or handles or foot pegs or something,
I haven't broken a handlebar yet, but now that I said that, it's going to happen the next time I go riding. Just watch.
I wouldn't say I've broke them, but I've bent several pairs of bars before.
Oh, bent 100%, but yeah. not broken.
Gosh, if you're breaking a handlebar, I hope you're okay.
Well, so I just talked about I changed my fitness and my nutrition and everything because I have this goal that next year I want to start racing. And I mean, I've done a couple races. I've done a couple enduros. I've done a hair scramble, and now I did a schmedium enduro recently. But I want to do hard enduro. And so I totally changed the way that I did everything in life because of that. So when you started getting into racing, did you change anything, or have you recently changed anything about your fitness or nutrition or anything? Or do you just kind of just everything's the same with that?
So I don't think I've changed anything with anything I'm eating. That's for sure. I mm-hmm. think that Emily and I feel like we've already kind of built a lifestyle around eating pretty healthy, and we rarely ever eat out. And if we do, we don't ever eat fast food. I could count probably on we've been together 4 years. Okay. I think we could count on maybe less than 10 times here how many times we've been out to go eat somewhere, because we're always cooking at home. And we're just getting a lot of, vegetables and your meats, and just try to keep it basic, really. I would say with fitness, I try to go to the gym as much as I can, 3 or 4 days a week. But work and stuff kind of gets in the way. If I have the opportunity to go out and ride for an hour or something, I will actually go and do that in place of a workout. And so I'm getting out on the bike 3 or 4 days a week and trying to hit the gym 3 or 4 days a week. Mm-hmm. So I'm pretty much being active 6 or 7 days a week. Mm-hmm. And what's really helped me since I have started racing is time on the bike. So if you're kind of doing your research on your riding techniques, and then you're actively riding your bike as much as you can throughout the week, think of how much better you could be if you go out and ride for 1 hour every day of the week, or 3 or 4 days a week, because then your brain is in that headspace of, oh, I just watched those YouTube videos. I'm going to try and implement this thing that I learned. And, and on top of that, you're also practicing your endurance. I don't ever go out and just free ride, joy ride. I really like to go out and train. So I will go out for an hour and I'll try and work on one particular thing, but I'm running at 80, 90% heart rate. I'm going as fast as I possibly can but safely. Cause we don't want to get injured, because then we can't ride. So I am working on endurance while working on something else. If I want to go out and work on my right-hand corners, I'll go set up a big turn track out in the woods or something. Mm-hmm. And I'll practice my corners, and I'll go run a moto for 1 hour straight, and I'll set a timer on my watch or something, and I'll do that for an hour straight at 80%. Yeah. So the biggest thing, yeah, I think nutrition is huge. Like if you're not eating healthy, you definitely should. And then like going to the gym and also just putting time on the motorcycle and elevating your heart rate, practicing getting your heart rate up and kind of keeping it at like a steady, like 160, somewhere around there, for an extended period of time. That's pretty much like you're going to the gym right there. Cause you're got your heart rate going and you're sweating for an hour straight, right?
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's great. I don't typically, I don't know. I haven't worn my fitness watch on my bike in a while. So I don't know what my heart rate's at typically when I ride. I'm gonna have to look at that because that's really interesting. I know that there are times when I'm like, holy crap, my heart rate is just like going. But usually that's like when I'm really pushing it because I'm riding with like faster people and I'm trying to keep up.
Yeah.
But
I think what I enjoy doing when I'm training is I try to recreate a race environment because when you're at a race and you're on the starting line, your heart rate is spiked because you're excited, you're nervous. And when I go out and practice, I definitely don't have that initial spike, but if I can go do a couple warm-up laps and get my heart rate up a little bit, and then I'll push myself to get the heart rate up and ride as fast as I can to keep my heart rate elevated, but not too elevated. You don't want to wear yourself out. You know, but practice like as if you're racing, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely, I mean, I train, I've been training for an ultra marathon. And so like endurance is a huge, huge thing for me. So even on the bike, like I try and focus on endurance a little bit more on that when I'm trail riding with friends. Just like, I know my friend and I, last month we went riding and it was really cool because we did 45 miles in like 2.5 hours. And that was an insane speed for me because I've never ridden up that far that fast before. And so that was really cool because it was just a testament of how much my endurance has improved because we did that and I wasn't even tired. I was like, let's keep going. And then this huge storm moved in, so we had to stop. But it makes such a difference. Even when you don't think that you're seeing improvement, you have things like that that happen and you're like, oh, yeah, I never used to be able to do that. It might be tiny little increments, but to me, that's really sustainable for people who aren't doing it as pros, right? Because like if you're pro or you're up there, you're pushing for pro, then that's a little bit different. You're training hardcore versus like, I'm just training to be better. And I mean, like I could train that hard, but I also am training for other things too. So, but yeah, I think that that's a cool approach to it. I like that.
Yeah.
So I kind of want to, so you're talking about how, like how you get you like ready for races and stuff like that. You just did a race in California and that's a little bit different for you. Have you, cause you haven't raced outside of your state before, right?
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. So how different was it to race in California?
So I would say there was two things that were pretty different. So I raced at Hangtown and it was a hair scramble put on by District 36, and which actually I'm not sure if that's the name of the company or what, but it was called the AMA District 36 Lilliputian race.
Okay.
I couldn't really announce it. I got a plaque because I got fourth, but I couldn't pronounce it. And I even asked a couple people, like, how do you say this? But it was, the terrain was really different. Mm-hmm. They have the dirt out there. It was like super hard packed with this really fine, silty dirt sitting on top of the hard pack. So typically in Washington, by the third or fourth lap, you got these really deep ruts starting to form. And even if it's a flat corner, you'll start to get these berms that will build up on the corners. But because the dirt was so hard packed, like there's no berms happening in the trails. The corners are super slippery. So that was really strange running a race where there's no traction around corners. So
yeah.
You had to brake like way before the corner. And then I kind of dragged my rear brake going around a corner to kind of like get my rear end to kind of like slide around. So that was really different. And then, kind of like desert racing, there was a lot of rocks everywhere, which, I really enjoy. I enjoy a like some rocks, but not like huge boulders, right?
Yeah.
That's like the hard enduro stuff. The other thing that was different was because this was an AMA race, they have certain rules about what class you can ride unless you've already been doing the series. So this year, in 2024, I was racing in the B class for my series. Mm-hmm. But because I was new to that series down there, I had to start in the C class. Mm-hmm. So I definitely wanted to ride in the B class, but I had to start in C. And that was just, I went down there to go have some fun, to go ride with some family, because we have some family down there that actually they've been doing hair scramble races for the last couple of years. And they're the reason that Emily and I had got into hair scrambles. So we went down there to go hang out with family, and I got to line up with our cousin, Buddy Benner. And that was super fun because we've never raced together. And it was just an incredible experience to just race at a place I've never raced before.
That's awesome. I have been able to travel and ride in a bunch of different places. I haven't raced it. Well, I've raced in three states now, actually. The couple races that I've done have been in all different states.
Sweet.
But it's amazing how much you think that the terrain is going to be the same and it's completely different. It can be really eye-opening. But I think I've been to 12 states now to ride in. It's so fun. I absolutely love going to new terrain. It's really challenging. Like here in Tennessee, there's a lot of big rocks. There's a lot of roots. It's very challenging out here. There's tons and tons of downhill. And because there's just mountains everywhere out here. And I absolutely was terrified of downhills in general. And then if you added rocks or roots or anything like that, nope, I would just nope out of it. And that was 4 months ago. Now, the other day, I was bombing down the side of a mountain and I was just like so excited. I was like smiling in my helmet and I was just like laughing at myself because I was like, I can't believe how fast I'm going. And to anybody else, it's probably really not that fast. But to me, it was really fast. I was in good form. Like I felt really good about, my riding.
You felt safe. And
yes, exactly.
That's why you can go so fast.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And that's because of going all the way back to the body positioning that I learned in the clinics and, you know, just learning how to do it and really focusing on that training on flat ground made me feel so much more comfortable when I was doing it on this huge downhill down a mountain where there's tons of big rocks. There's like 2 inches of leaves covering everything. So you can't see where the rocks are. You can't see where the roots are. And it is a big drop if you decide to go down that way. You know, if you get kicked around by a rock, it's kind of scary because sometimes you do go towards the edge. But being able to have the control that I have now, just in 4 months, essentially, has been, it's huge. It's just absolutely huge. So again, going back to why I'm such a huge proponent on doing those things, because it really helps when you, I call myself an experienced beginner because I'm still a beginner, but I've just ridden in a lot of places. And when you're an experienced beginner like me and you decide to go places that are just completely different, you can still feel comfortable to do those things if you know how to do them properly. Yeah. And I'm not saying I'm good by any means. I'm still learning. I'm still working on it, but
yeah.
I know that the techniques are there and I'm building those skills now. So I think it's super cool to go new places. So if you could go like anywhere in the country, where would you want to go ride?
Oh my gosh. I don't even know. I feel like maybe I'm so new to the space that I maybe haven't branched out enough to like really know like where there's really good writing. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like I also feel like kind of spoiled living in the Pacific Northwest because there's so many great places to ride here.
Yeah.
Like I've seen some places in maybe like Utah. I had a friend that went out to Utah recently and, mm-hmm. You know, he sent me some pictures of him riding out there and there's like a lot of red rock and that looked super fun. But other than that, like, to be honest, I don't know if I really know of any places that I want to ride. Like I need to look into that, I guess.
Yeah, I highly recommend it. If you're an off-road rider, definitely recommend at least branching out a little bit. Some people really love their places though. So
yeah,
I mean,
you know, it's my goal. Like. It's my goal. There are two things. It's my goal to eventually race down in Mexico for the Baja at some point. And then another goal of mine would be to also race at least one of the GNCC races, if not do the series. So, and I know that the GNCC races kind of happen all over in like the Midwest and East Coast and stuff. So I watch that stuff on YouTube and I really love watching that. The terrain is awesome. I love there's a lot of like elevation changes and big roots and rocks and stuff, but like those guys make it look so easy to fly over that stuff. And that's somewhere that I would like to ride. Wherever the GNCC is racing, like I hope that I can go there someday.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be really cool. I haven't done a whole lot of exploration into GNCC. I just found out about it this year as well. So I'm kind of immersing myself into the world a lot more and I've learned a lot this year. And I've learned that I don't know that much. So
yeah,
but I mean, I like to learn. So it's always really cool to be able to kind of talk about it or to hear about it more. It always intrigues me. I started out watching hard enduro and, you know, those races take place in Austria and Turkey and just these amazing epic places like that. And so I've always had like a want to go to those kinds of places and ride because it's just insane terrain, like absolutely incredible. And for whatever reason, my brain thinks that I could ride like that. So like one day it'll happen. That's my ultimate goal is to get over and ride in other countries. I don't necessarily need to race in other countries, just to ride and just enjoy the scenery in a different way, which would be awesome. But in general, to just like go to a different country. But if I can go and ride, then why not? So.
Sure. Yeah. I think that sounds amazing. Doing anything with dirt bikes, when you're traveling or just at home, I'm down. Like,
yeah.
I, I think traveling and riding is amazing. Emily and I traveled a little bit across Washington and we've ridden some different areas. I think we took like a week long trip to just go hit some different areas in our state. And that was so much fun.
Yeah. That's awesome. I love the exploration. Like I said, some people are totally content with just riding the same trails, and that's totally cool. Like, I'm not knocking that at all. I just, for me, I need to be able to go and experience new things. And I think that's kind of also helped push me in my riding and to get to the level that I'm at now so quickly is because I do go to new places all the time. Most of the places that I've ridden happened since March. Essentially. Nice. So yeah, nice. It's been a lot of change in scenery.
Yeah.
But it's cool and it really challenges me as a rider. And I absolutely love the challenge. Like, that's probably why I like hard enduro. But I think it's so cool. And I get to meet amazing people in different parts of the country now. And it just, everybody's so awesome. I love it. Mm-hmm.
I think for me personally, and maybe some other people could relate to this. Let's say you do ride the same place pretty frequently. Mm-hmm. And because there's a couple areas that I ride quite a bit, and I'll mm-hmm. go out there and I'll do like a training session. And maybe you know that trail really well. I'll go out and I will push myself to the absolute limit on those trails. Mm-hmm. And this particular area that I ride at is pretty wide open, but I've created my own track that's like 2.8 miles long. Mm-hmm. And like I go out there during the week and there's no one there. So I know I'm not going to run into anyone. And
yeah,
I can go out there and push myself to the max for an hour straight. And yeah, I'm riding the same terrain pretty frequently, but I at least try and challenge myself, and I'll even like time my laps to see how fast I'm going so that I can push my limits that way. So for someone like you, you said that you really enjoy traveling and, you know, hitting different terrain, and that's awesome. If you know, you're someone that's listening to this and maybe you don't have the luxury of traveling, mm-hmm. and you really want to push yourself, I would say you just got to find ways that you really enjoy pushing yourself. Mm-hmm. And for me, that's just like going to a lot of the same trails, but pushing myself as hard as I can on those trails.
Yeah. Oh, don't get me wrong. Like when because I travel for work, so I'm in each area like about 3 months. So when I'm in those areas, like when I was in Maine, for example, there was one trail system that was like 30 minutes from my house. And so I was there 3 times a week and I was there training. I was sessioning the same hill. I was doing the same little baby mini rock garden, you know, just working on my balance, working the sand section. And that's what I would do every single time that I went out there. You know, I'd pick a different feature each time and I would work that section. That's definitely a great way to build your skills. But then on the weekends is when I trail ride and I do my fun riding as opposed to training. And because I don't have a whole lot of seat time. So with not a lot of seat time comes the fact that things can be visually intimidating just because you've never seen it before. And so that's why I kind of do the fun rides that kind of take me a lot longer, you know, a lot more mileage. So that way I can see more stuff. And that's when I love to see the new stuff and, you know, challenge myself in those ways. So the way that I said it was probably kind of weird before, but I just wanted to clarify that.
No, yeah.
there's good in both things. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And getting out and just like doing a leisure ride, I think there's a lot of value in that too. Like, you talked about mental health earlier. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's so huge. You know, like Emily and I will go out and like, I'm we're not like training. We just go out and we trail ride because we enjoy spending time together and we're enjoying ourselves. And I love just detaching from social media and our phones and everything, and just like being so in the moment, being out there on the motorcycle. It's an amazing feeling.
Yeah. Yeah. I absolutely love that. Detaching from that norm, I guess, like detaching from what you're stuck in every single day, whether it's work or the same monotony, and just being able to get out. I think that even if you ride the same trails or the same track, it's always going to change a little bit. So you still have to always think, and you always have to think about what you're doing on a bike. And I think that that's, it really brings your focus, and you have to be present. You can't be thinking about what happened earlier at work or what happened at home, or, you know, you can't think about any of that stuff. You have to focus on what's happening in that moment. And I think that that's maybe something that we all kind of really like about riding, at least the people that I've talked to so far, is that it really is kind of an escape or a therapy for us. And it's a way for us to just kind of feel good. And like, who doesn't want that in life?
Yeah, I agree. Definitely.
Well, I love it. So if you have like any advice for somebody who's just getting into riding, like in general, what would be your best advice?
Yeah, I can think of two things, or I guess three things. They all kind of tie into each other, and we've touched on some of them, but doing your research and, you know, figuring out like your riding style, whether it's hard enduro or racing off-road or motocross, kind of like figure out what your style is and what you like, and then start just like researching those techniques that are going to help you succeed, because we want to be safe on the motorcycle so that we can go faster and have fun, but you want to be safe so that if you get hurt, then you can't ride your motorcycle. So doing your research so that you can be safe on the motorcycle, and understanding kind of like what is your style. And then, I would say, seat time. That's going to be the biggest thing. You need to have as much seat time as you can to get good at your craft. And it doesn't matter if whatever you want to apply that to. If you want to be a really good cook, or if you want to be a NASCAR driver or something, like you have to practice, right? So
yep,
getting out there and practicing, and also practicing that good form, right? That's going to be huge for your success on the motorcycle. And then I would say the last thing, it sounds really simple and kind of dumb, but like stand as much as you can.
Yeah.
The first year that I was on the bike, I sat the entire time. Okay. Like it might feel unnatural to stand, but I promise like you will unlock a new rider inside of you if you stand as much as you possibly can, so that you can hit these obstacles, and you can go faster because the bike can work underneath you. And that just ties into like doing your research on what style of riding you want to do, right? But I would say across the board, whether you're doing motocross, hard enduro, or off-road, most of those guys are standing most of the time. So
yeah,
I wish I unlocked that knowledge.
I was gonna say that's really, really good advice for somebody who's new. So I love that.
Yeah.
So real quick before our time is up, I do want to touch really fast on the fact that you have a new sponsor.
Do you
want to talk about how that came about?
So I'm wearing their hoodie right now. They're called Mostly Moto. And They're based out of Longview, Washington. That's the area that I'm from. I just completed the NORC series this year in the Vet B class. And I had a friend that pushed me to set up a race resume, because I did get a couple podiums, and I've been having some pretty good finishes. And he said, dude, you got nothing to lose. Just put together a resume and try and like reach out to some people and see if they want to partner with you, because racing is expensive. And, you know, if you're trying to get to that next level, you're going to be, you know, pushing your limits. You're going to be burning through tires and, you know, maybe going through foot pegs and handlebars and levers, brake pads. Mm-hmm. Changing your oil. Oh my gosh. In air filters. When I started doing moto, I didn't know that like you're supposed to change your oil like every 5 hours, and I ride a lot. So I'm changing my oil all the time. So, I got a new sponsor, and I'm really excited. We just got the new graphics on the bike and they look so sick. So, you know, we're trying to go all out for this next year, because we're mostly moto is brand new to the area. So we're really trying to make a statement this next year for the race season. And we're going to have the tent. The graphics are looking sick. We're going to get some decals on the trailer. You know, I really want to make a statement when I show up to the track, and like I really want people to know who I am, because I'm really trying to advocate for this sport and just be like, I don't know, a positive light, positive energy in this space. So, you know, I want to support Mostly Moto, and Mostly Moto wants to support me. So, we're really excited going into this next year, which, by the way, I'm going to be racing the Vet Semi Pro class, which is kind of equivalent to like Vet A, which is long course. And I'm really excited to push myself and just be the best rider I can next year.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. I'm super stoked to see it. I've been watching your YouTube videos and stuff, and I just started following you a few months ago, but I've gone back and watched some stuff. And I think it's really cool to see your progression, and it's going to be really cool to see what you can do next year. I think you definitely make a statement with that bike.
Thank you. I like it.
It's awesome. I think you're doing great at, you know, you're moving in a great direction, and I love to see the positivity. It's just really cool. I am very drawn to people with a positive mindset, and it's really cool to hear you kind of talk about that mental health. And, you know, it's kind of funny that I didn't really know you when we started talking. And like, as we're talking, I'm like, okay, yeah, all right. Like, we totally vibe. Like, this is awesome. Like, but again, it goes back to the people who ride dirt bikes all have that same kind of mentality and that same kind of awesomeness. And this is just more proof of that, you know, like, we're all kind of our own awesome.
We're all connected, you know?
Exactly. It's just something really cool about people who ride.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I love it. Well, in the last few seconds, you kind of did a little bit, but if you would like to give a shout out to anybody, say hi to mom or anything like that, this is your time.
Of course. Yeah. You know, I'll give a shout out to my wife, Emily, because, you know, she's always been my biggest fan no matter what I'm doing. And she's also, she did the entire NORC series as well. And she finished sixth in her class, in the women's beginner class. Coming into it with no experience, it was amazing. It was really amazing to progress together and do the entire series for the first time together. So, you know, we're looking forward to next year. And then also like my parents, like they came out to, I think, most, if not all the races to support me. And then, my sponsor, Mostly Moto, I'm super stoked to be partnered with them. This next year is going to be amazing. And then I guess just going to plug myself. If you guys want to follow my YouTube channel, that would be amazing. I actually have two channels. One of them is called Ride 360 Motorsports, and that's where I just post like all of my like raw GoPro footage from my races. So some of those videos are like an hour and a half or 2 hours long. And then I have another channel that's my name, Grant Evans 112. That's my bike number. And on that channel, I post more like vlog content, and I'm starting to put together some other content that's like talking about like maybe like bike maintenance. And I just created a video on like putting my graphics on my bike and like how to put like a new seat cover on your bike, and just kind of doing like, I want to do some informational videos because I'm learning in this space, and I want to share that with other people. So my entire goal for the YouTube channel is to like share my experience as I, do these races, but also like I'm learning about bike maintenance and everything that kind of comes along with that. So anytime I can create an entertaining video, I'm trying to like just figure that out. So I'll give you some links to both those channels so you can
post them. For sure, we'll include that in the description. Awesome. I think that's great for the content. It's really important, especially for newer people. You don't know what you don't know, and when you come across a video like that, you kind of just think about it and go, oh, I didn't know that. Moving from a 4-stroke to a 2-stroke was a big change. There's a lot of different stuff that I've had to learn. And I also had somebody before who would take care of my bike for me, and I didn't really have to do it. And now I've had to learn how to work on my bike, and I'm still learning. There's still things that, I'm figuring out, but having videos like that to reference is really, really awesome to me. And I think other people will find a lot of value in it as well. So kudos to that.
Thank you.
Well, thank you again for joining me. I know this was kind of like super random, but like I said, I was just like, I thought it was super cool. Everything that you do. So, this was really, really awesome. I'm super stoked to see where next year takes you.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It was awesome getting to talk to you and get to know you. And thanks for inviting me onto the show. And, I wish you the best on the hard enduro stuff that you've been working on. So,
yeah. And I'll let you guys know when I finally get out to the PNW, we can all just go ride. So
sweet. Awesome.
Well, thank you so much, Grant. And we'll talk to you later.
Thank you.
All right. Bye.